So we're going to just finish up this sugi and start a new sugi today, Mirtz Hashem, on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. And you may recall Rav Papa. Rav Papa said that according to the Shitas Chachamim, that Ein Shvach Eitzim V'Pas, when can we have a case of Yisurei Hanoah in, for example, Klipei Arla or Atzei Avodah Zarah? Where would you find such reality? Because according to Chachamim, even in a case of Avuka Kenegdo, where the fire is going straight up from the Yisurei Hanoah, from the Atzei Yisurei Hanoah into the Pas still remains Muteris. So Rav Papa had a very complicated case. He says, supposing a person comes forward and he designates Eitzim, and in this case it's more the value of the Eitzim, but he designates the Eitzim for Hegdesh in such a way, stipulating a condition that the monies that accrue from the sale of these Eitzim will be dedicated for a Karban Shlomim. And in that case, the Eitzim themselves receive the status of the Karban Shlomim. They no longer are to be classified as Kodshei Domim, as Kedushas Beder Kapayis, but rather get elevated to the status of Kedushas HaGuf, even though the Eitzim themselves will not be used as Eitzim HaRocha, but they'll be used to purchase a Karban Shlomim. The Karban Shlomim will replace the Eitzim, and therefore there's no Me'ilah. Now, what we want to say here is the following. We had a question of Rava. Rava said the following, that let's say you would take Eitzim, and you, let's say these Eitzim would be Hegdish. The very moment that you burn the Eitzim, you already violate the Isur Me'ilah. And once you violate the Isur Me'ilah, which applies to Kedushas Domim, then we have a principle that through Me'ilah, it's Yotze L'chulin. So if it's Yotze L'chulin, then how could there possibly be an Isur Hanoah on Atzei Hegdesh, the very moment that you burn it? So we're looking for a case of Atzei Hegdesh, where despite the fact that you're burning it for your own purposes, nevertheless it still retains its own Kedusha. And the Me'ilah does not remove the Kedusha. So again, normally the principle is, in 99 out of 100 cases, that Me'ilah is Mafkia Kedusha, the Din of Hegdesh. A better word would be, it's Mechalel, the Hegdesh. And the Hegdesh is Yotzel L'chulin as a result of Me'ilah. So Rabbi asks the following question. If this be the case, then how could it ever be that, as Rav Chisda said before, Tanur Sheisiko Biatze Hegdesh, we offer us a pass, L'Rabbon and Asur. Rav Chisda says that if you take Atzei Hegdesh and you use it as fuel to fire up your oven and you bake a bread, the din of that bread is that it's Asur, meaning it has the same status of Hegdesh. How could that be true? The very moment that you put the fire onto the Eitzim, it becomes Me'ilah. And the very moment it's Me'ilah, it's Yotzo L'chulin. So Rav Papa says, I'll give you a case where it's not Yotzo L'chulin, meaning it's not subject to Me'ilah. And that's going to be the case of Atzei Shlomim. So here's what we're up to for today. We're on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, and we're looking for the words V'chol Hecha. If you see a Tosfos, Divrei Maskil Hegdesh, on the right side, the second Tosfos, then go down, drop one line, V'chol Hecha. The Gemara is now going to ask Akasha on Akasha. Rav had Akasha, he didn't understand the statement of Rav Chisda. How could Rav Chisda say that if you fire up your oven without, say, Hegdesh, then the pas becomes Hegdesh with all the Yisurim of Hegdesh? How could that be? The very moment you fire it up, it's Yotza L'chulin. Says the Gemara, V'chol Hecha Demal Hamasik Nafki L'chulin. Is it really true that Me'ilah will automatically remove the status of Hegdesh, and therefore the moment he puts torch to this, to these Eitzei Hegdesh, it's Yotzo L'chulin. V'atani, we have a brisa, Kol HaNisrofim are from Mutar, Chutz Mi'atzi HaSheira V'Efer Hegdesh, Tuli Olam Asur. that although the general rule is that when you have Isuri Hanah, which means there's a mitzvah of Sreifa, for example, we're going to have the case of Orla, Klaya Keren, Truma Tmeya, Chametz B'Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which we've discussed at great length. Or, for example, you can talk about Nosar. In all these cases of Isuri Hanah, as soon as you burn them and you fulfill the mitzvah of Sreifa, the Afer, the ashes are mutter. But there are two exceptions to that rule. One is called Atzei Asherah, which means Avodah Zarah. And even though there's a mitzvah to burn Avodah Zarah, nevertheless the Afer remains Asur. And then there's the case of Afer Hegdesh, which is also Leolam Asur. That if you take Atzei Hegdesh and you burn them, they remain Asur. So then, what was Rava's question? Rava thought that as soon as you use the Atzei Hegdesh, everything should become mutter. Wait a minute. The halacha is that even the Afer is Asur. So in other words, even though the moment he burns it, he was Moel Behegdesh, but nevertheless, the Afer still remains Asur. Why should it be Asur? According to Rava, the very moment you burn the Hegdesh, through Me'ila becomes Chulin. Why should the Afer be Asur? Rambar Chama gives one answer, and then Rav Shmaya gives another answer. They both tried to come up with a hechetimtza, a reality, a scenario in which, even though he burns the Atzei Hegdesh and it became Afer, nevertheless, it is also. What's the case? Kigon shenafla dleika meileo biatzei hegdesh. What happens if a fire burns on Atzei Hegdesh? Not because you lit the fire, but meileha. It somehow, you know, there was a lightning struck or something, and it created a forest fire, and the Atzei Hegdesh got burnt. To leke inish the nimal. There's no one individual that we can point to and say that he was moel, and therefore it's not yotzei lechul. So that you ask me the question, Well, how could it be when he burns it? It's already Me'ila, and therefore it's Yotzei Lechulin. And how could you ever have a case where the Afer itself is Asur? After all, it's Yotzei Lechulin. And the answer is, if it's Nafla Dleika Me'ila, if it's Nafla Dleika Me'ila, there was no Maisa Me'ila, and therefore it's not Yotzei Lechulin. Hence, I understand why the Afer is Asur. Rav Shmaya Omar, he has another case. And when is Afer Hegdesh Asur? That's only the Osan Sheteunim Gnizo. We're going to talk now about Trumas Hadeshen. The Torah says in the parasha of Trumas Hadeshen, Visamo Eitzel HaMizbeach. And we had a Gemara back on Daf Chavav that from Visamo Eitzel HaMizbeach, we derive the conclusion that there's an Isur Me'ila in the Trumas Hadeshen. And now in the case of Trumas Hadeshen, that Afer is after he burnt it, right? He burnt it l'mitzvaso, and yet the Afer requires gniza, ton gniza. In other words, it's not yotzi l'chulin. This sign we have a brisa. Vissamo, what do we derive from the word vissamo, etzal mizbeach, with regard to Trumas Hadeshen? Benachas. Benachas means that you have to put it down slowly. It still has sanctity to it. And vissamo, kulo. That all of the Trumas Hadeshen has to be placed in a situation of Hanocha and Gniza. V'somo shelo yifazer. He's not allowed to spread it out here, there, and the other way. So we see here that Trumas Hadeshen requires Gniza, Eitzal HaMizbeach, V'somo Eitzal HaMizbeach, and it's Asur Banah. Right? We discussed this at great length back on Daf Chavav, that whenever something requires Gniza, it's because it's Asur Banah. So we see that in the case of Trumas Hadeshen, and the Afer remains Hegdesh Li'olam, and therefore that would be a case where when he burns Atzei Hegdesh, it still remains Asur.
Mm-hmm. So we learn that from Trumas Hadeshen, because Trumas Hadeshen is a special mitzvah, and the rest of the Afer that's on the Thumarim, the rest of the Afer, they throw.
Correct. So he's trying to say that I can interpret this Brisa, that the case in the Brisa is a case of Trumas Hadeshen. So not like Rami Bar Chava's answer to the case of the Braisa, where the Afer is us, is because Nafla Dleika Melen, therefore there was no Me'ila. I don't have to go that far. I can even talk in the Braisa in terms of a situation where you actually did the Maisa Sreifa, you did the Hasaka, and nevertheless the Afer is Osir. Now according to Rava, we have a problem, right? Because there's Me'ila. Once you light it up, there's Me'ila, and therefore it should be Yotzi L'chulin. And why should the Afer be Osir? And the answer is the Braisa is talking about a case of Truma Sadesh. Okay, Rabbi, so now we start the new Sugya. The Mishnah, back at the beginning of this Perek, records a machlokas between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda about the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The Torah requires that on Erev Pesach we destroy our chametz. How do we destroy our chametz? So that's the subject of this controversy. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein bir chametz ela sreifa. You have to burn the chametz. V'chachamim omrim mefarer v'zorel ruach omatil ya. That hashpesos v'chol dover. Any way that you get rid of the chametz, that's fine. You don't have to burn the chametz. You can crumble it up into small pieces and throw it to the wind or throw it into the sea, and that's fine. So the sugya that we want to learn today is the sugya of Rabbi Yehuda. How did Rabbi Yehuda derive this conclusion? What was the source for Rabbi Yehuda's conclusion that ein bir chametz ela sreifa? The Gemara is going to try a kal v'chomer, then a tzad shava, and in each case the Gemara is going to explain why Chachamim punctured a hole. They raised an objection of Pircha against the derivation of Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Ein bir chametz ela sreifa. Vadin no sein. Now the word vadin is a very specific Talmudic terminology, and it refers to a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer and din are synonymous terms. Now this kal v'chomer is going to be based on nosar. The Torah tells us that every single kodshim has a certain zman achiloso. Now kodshim divides up into two categories. There's kodshim kodshim and kodshim kalim. With regard to kodshim kalim, we give you a much longer period of time. But with regard to kodshim kodshim, like chatas and osham, there the halacha is that you have to eat it by nightfall. So you only get that one day in which the carbon chatas of Roshan was brought on the Mizbeach. Again, we're talking about the Achilas Kohen here in this case, because there's no Achilas Bailim in Kodshe Kodshim, but in Kodshe Kalim, we give you a longer period of time. The Torah tells us that if the Achila was not implemented, then we violate, number one, an Isur Nosar, because we pass the allotted time. So in the case of Kodshe Kodshim, what happens is you have that day itself up until Laila, and if he didn't eat it by the morning, then it becomes no. So in the case of Kodshim Kalim, like Shlomim and Bechor and Maisa, in those cases we give him 2 days and a Laila, meaning today, tonight, and the day tomorrow. Then the night afterwards, it becomes no sar. Again, there's a special din in Karban Toda, but we're not going to get into that now. That's not relevant to us at all. So now, this case of Nosar, the Torah says that if in event that he violated the Isur Nosar, then Hanosar Mimenu Ba'esh Tisrofu. The Torah says that if the Nosar remained too long, meaning the Basar Kodshim remained too long and he didn't eat it, then in the absence of Achila, the Basar becomes Nosar and it requires Sreifa. And Rabbi Yehuda wants to suggest an analogy. It's more than an analogy, it's a kal v'chomer, from nosar to chametz. Why is chametz worse than nosar? Why is it more chamur? He says the following, hadin nosar, and here's the kal v'chomer. Uman nosar, she'eno bibal yira ubal yimotze. Now, the Torah says that you have to get rid of the nosar by burning it. But the Torah doesn't say that every single second that you delay burning the nosar, you violate some sort of a law. In the case of chametz, the Torah tells you that every single second that you delay and postpone the getting rid of the chametz, you violate the isur of bal yira ubal yimotze. The very possession over the chametz is a violation. We don't find anything parallel in Nosar. The Torah says you have to burn it, and Zrizim Makdim L'mitzvah, you know, burn it at your first opportune moment, but the Torah never says that there's an Isur if you delay the burning, as long as eventually you burn it. So therefore, Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzi indicates that chametz is even more chamur than nosar. So if in the case of nosar, where there's no Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzi and there's no violation of holding on to the nosar, is toned straight for the Torah says you have to burn it. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, chametz sheyeshno bebal yiroh bal yimotzei, the Torah not only requires you get rid of chametz, the Torah says get rid of it immediately. And every moment that you delay getting rid of the chametz, you violate two lavim in the Torah, bal yiroh bal yimotzei lo kol shkein shutan sreifa, much more so should he be required to burn the chametz. If the Torah says you have to burn nosar, then for sure you have to burn chametz. Now again, where does the Torah say that you have to burn nosar? So that's in Vayikra Zion. We'll read it in Yirtz Hashem day after tomorrow. And there the pasuk it says, "Va'nosar mipsar hazevach bayom hashlishi," because it's referring to korban shlamim, which can be eaten for 2 days. So anything that's nosar bayom hashlishi, ba'esh yisarev. Now there's a similar pasuk in Shmos Perek Yud Beis with regard to the Korban Pesach. It says, "Va'nosar mimenu ad boker ba'esh tisrofu." So this is a mitzvah say that applies to Basar Kodshim, to all Basar Kodshim, that if it was nosar, it was left over beyond the allotted achila time, the zman achiloso, then you have to burn it. And this is a doraisa of sreifa. So now in the case of chametz, where the Torah slaps you with two isurim lavim of bal yiroh bal yimotzei, and you're not allowed to delay getting rid of the chametz, how much more so you should have to burn it? Amru lo, so the chachamim say that this is not a fair kal v'chomer. Your kal v'chomer violates one of the rules that govern a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer is very restricted. And what is the rule that you, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham are accusing Rabbi Yehuda of violating? What rule in Kal v'chomer, what restriction in Kal v'chomer? Amru lo, the Chacham say, kol din shatadon, tchilasa lahachmir v'sofa lahakil, eino din. What he means to say is that a Kal v'chomer, because this, the Torah was machmir in a case that's kal, how much more so is the Torah going to be machmir in a case that's chomer, that's acceptable only if you're deriving a chumrah. What a chumrah means is that it's 100% chumrah. Sometimes a chumrah has a kula to it. And the requirement of sreifa, so claim the chachamim, is a chumrah, but it also has a kula to it. Why does it have a kula to it? Lo matza esim l'sarfo ye yoshevu batel. If you're telling me the only way, the only method you can fulfill the Torah's mitzvah is through sreifa, well, that's a chumrah because you're excluding other methods, but it's also a kula. In other words, there's going to be a situation in which you can sit tight, passively, and not fulfill the mitzvah. For example, lo matzah eitzim l'sarfa. Is he a yoshev who batel? He's not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. Vatorah omra, the Torah says, get rid of that chametz. Tashbisu siyar bibatechem. And it means that the Torah really doesn't tolerate your possession over the chametz. And therefore, it must mean that you have to destroy it in any way possible. If you're going to limit and restrict the method of tashbis of destruction to sreifa, then you're really generating a kula. Because you're saying that if a person doesn't have eitzim, then he's not chayav in the midst of tashbisu. And he's going to continue possessing his chametz. That already undermines the kal v'chomer. So I have a footnote here in which Rashi, Dibra Maskel She'im, okay, we'll see an answer to Rashi's question. Does anybody find this Rashi? It's about 8 lines up from the bottom of the page. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah. The second short line above the line.
Right. It's approximately 8 lines. I didn't count it, but he says, Bitmiya. He says, V'yafal gav. Okay, so the Bitmiya is just interpreting the objection of the Rabbanon. But now Rashi asks the kasha. This is, by the way, is very unusual. You know, Rashi's not Tosfos. But Rashi finds a stira. Why? V'yafal gav d'amrinim b'perikama. The Gemara establishes that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have an absolute rule that chametz requires sreifa. But Rabbi Yehuda agrees that b'shas bi'uro hashpesos b'chol davar, meaning if you're getting rid of the chametz before the before noontime, before chatzos achileg, then you're required to burn the chametz. But if on the other hand you reach the moment of shas bi'uro and you haven't yet destroyed the chametz, then even Rabbi Yehuda agrees hashpesos b'chol davar. So where's the kula here? You know, if I don't find eitzim, so I'm not going to burn it, as the Gemara calls it, Yehiyoshev Ubatel. That's not true. It's not Yehiyoshev Ubatel. At that point, if you don't find Eitzim and it's midday, then even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Hashpasasa B'chol Dor, you have to get rid of it. So I'm not adding any cool over here. The Chumrah that Rabbi Yehuda wants to derive from this Kavachom from Nosar exists up until a certain point, meaning if you're getting rid of the Chametz before the end of the sixth hour, then we're going to derive from Nosar that you require Sreifa. But on the other hand, if the sixth hour, you know, they entered into the sixth hour, at that point, we're going to require Hashpasasa B'chol Dor. So let me read to you what he says over here. He says, Rashi Hiksha Mihadish Aninu Li El Demod Rabbi Yehuda B'shas Bi'uro Hashpesos B'chol Dover Hainu Mishah Shvius, from the beginning of the seventh hour Shenesar HaChometz Min HaTorah Chayv LaHashpes B'chol Ofen Shehu V'lo Hitzriach HaKosav Levayer. The only requirement to Sreifa is Ayudei Sreifa is Kodem Shas Bi'uro Dainu Mishah Shishis. The imkain af kishalomotza eitzim. What was the tain of the rabbanon? What if he didn't find eitzim to burn the chametz? Is nevertheless yamtin adshas biuro. He does have a safety. What do we call it? A safety latch. What was the word? Safety hatch. Yeah. Then what does he do? He burns it. He gets rid of it in any way possible. So ma kula yesh bekach. Why is that called a kula? It's not a kula. He's not going to sit there, you know, with his arms crossed and do nothing. He's going to destroy it in any way possible. He has to be mekayim the mitzvah biur. So the only requirement to sreifa is before the shas isuro. So here's the answer: Hakula he b'misha rotza lotzeis b'shayara tov shloshim yom konam apesa. If a person leaves his house, we have a sugya on daf vav. If he leaves his house within 30 days, right, as of today, right, let's say he leaves his house before Pesach, then he's chayav in biur. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, what would be if he's leaving his house 30 days before Pesach and he has no eitzim, he has no possibility of burning his chametz? Is then yeh yoshev u'batel. Now this is all based on a Rashi back on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, that when Rabbi Yehuda says Ein bir chametz el sreifa, that's as far as hashbasas chametz kodim zman isuro. If it's before the zman isur, then Rabbi Yehuda holds that Ein bir chametz el sreifa. But I'll just mention in passing, again this requires a lot more study, there have been Tom disagrees with Rashi. And back on Daf Yud Aleph, Rabbeinu Tam says just the opposite of Rashi. He says that if he's being mevayer his chametz after Shas Isuro, no, it's after Shas Shishis, that's when Rabbi Yehuda says Ein bir chametz el sreifa, because that becomes exactly similar to Nosar. When does Nosar require sreifa? That's after the allotted time. And the parallel in chametz would be after we finish Shas Shishis and we start Shas Shvius. If he destroys his chametz earlier, kodem zvani su chametz, moda Rabbi Yehuda sheyochel avaro b'chol ofen shehu shadayin lo chal al chametz chiyuv biur min haTorah.
That makes more sense.
You like that better, Rabbi Natan?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So he says now al zeh hikshu chachamim. Now we can appreciate the objection of the chachamim. Shaladivir Rabbi Yehuda, adam sheyesh lo chametz liachar zmani suro. According to Rabbi Tam's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, liachar zmani suro, he has to be mavaris chametz through sreifa, and that's going to be a kula in a case where he has no eitzim. So basically, the summary of everything we saw is that Rashi is asking a question. The very question of Rashi is predicated on the premise of Rashi. Namely, that after Shas Isuro, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Hashpasos B'chol Dovar. But Rabbeinu Tam, this question wouldn't even get off the ground, because Rabbeinu Tam holds according to Rabbi Yehuda that after Shas Yisura it becomes similar to Nosar, and if it's similar to Nosar, you require Sreifa. So what's going to be now when the mitzvah of Tashbisu sets in, and he hasn't yet destroyed his chametz? He's going to only be able to destroy it if he has access to eitz. And
that's Chachomim agree with that, with Rabbi Yehuda in that case? Would the Chachamim agree that after...
No. Otherwise, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you've reduced the machlokas to naught.
Right.
Meaning,
so they'll never
before Shas Yisura, according to Rabbeinu Tam, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees Sash B'sos B'chol Tov. Come Shas Yisura, Rabbi Yehuda derives a Kalachomer from Nosar that you need Sreifa. And on that, the Chachamim objected. They say, what do you mean you need Sreifa? If you're going to need Sreifa, that's that you're deriving from a Kalachomer Akula, or at least one dimension of Akula, in event that he doesn't have eitz. Chazar Rav Yehuda v'dano din acher. Rav Yehuda at this point
conceded defeat.
He still has another card up his sleeve, and this is called a binyan av. Now let's understand that a binyan av is on the one hand much more complicated. And I'll explain why. But on the other hand, a binyan av has much more power and a greater, wider scope than a kal v'chomer. Why? Because in the case of a kal v'chomer, we have all sorts of restrictions, which means that if there's a kula element that's derived from this kal v'chomer, then the kal v'chomer is completely thrown overboard. A binyan av, it doesn't matter whether it's kal or not, because a binyan av means that the dinim that apply in one case are going to therefore apply in another case. It's an absolute equation or analogy. So for example, what's the deal in Nosar if he has no wood? So he's not going to be mekayim the dinim sreifa until he gets hold of some wood. And that exact same din is going to apply to chametz, according to Rabbi Yehuda, based on this binyan av. Chametz, like Nosar, requires sreifa, and in the event that you don't have wood, so there's no possibility of sreifa. So in that sense, Rabbi Yehuda has a great advantage by substituting a binyan av for a kal v'chomer. But now it becomes more complicated, because when you derive a binyan av, what it means is that you see in case X, which the Torah specifies what the law is, a revelation for all cases of that sort. Which means that if Rabbi Yehuda is going to derive Sreifa in Chametz from a binyan av of Nosar, then you're not going to limit it to Chametz. You're going to have to require anything that's similar to Nosar is going to require Sreifa. And that's not going to be true, because Rabbi Yehuda is only deriving one case from Nosar. So let's see what the case is. Nosar osur bachila. What quality, what characteristic can we formulate which represents the essence of Nosar as a category that requires sreifa? Well, the category of Nosar is that it's osur bachila. The Torah let you eat the kachim up until the next morning. After that, after daybreak, you can't eat the kachim. It's osur bachila. The Torah says now destroy it. Is chametz is also osur bachila. And therefore, Nosar b'sreifa av chametz b'sreifa. Again, we're not dealing with the kal v'chomer here. We're just telling you that Nosar is now a binyan av. It's an archetype. It's
a paradigm.
It's a paradigm case. Now, again, we're going to look at Nosar and we're going to ask what does it represent? It's a paradigm of what? And at this point in the presentation, we're in deep trouble, because at this point, Rabbi Yehuda says that Nosar is a paradigm of Isra Achila, and Chametz therefore is going to be derived and equated to Nosar. Well, that's a real headache, because Amrullah, the Chacham say to him, wait a minute, if you're going to tell me that Nosar is the paradigm of Isra Achila, then let's derive the conclusion, let's not limit ourselves to Chametz, is even Nevela. And again, when the Gemara says Nevela, there's a long, long list of Isuri Achila. We've discussed many of them in the past. And Nevela is, let's say, a paradigm case. But there are many cases of Isuri Achila. And Nevela, Tochiach Shasur V'Achila, is Eina Tu'una Sreifa. We don't find that the Torah requires, and nobody says that the Torah requires Sreifa and Nevela. On the contrary, the Torah says, what do you do with your Nevela? Feed it to your dog, right? or actually that's treifa, but in the case of the veil, the Torah says, give it as a gift to a ger and toshav, or sell it to a guy. The Torah never requires treifa in the veil. So obviously, if you're defining the essence of the veil, and you're setting up the veil on the top of the, you know, as a flag on the top of the pole, you know, follow me, follow the leader. That you, when there's an Isra Achila, there's an ipso facto, there's going to be a mitzvah sreifa, and Chametz is going to follow the leader according to Rabbi Yehuda, then why not Nevela? And again, it's not just Nevela. Abolehem. So now Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board. And I'm going to have to learn this binyan av, and I'm going to define nosar as paradigmic of something else. It's not just an Isra Achila, because that's going to be impossible to maintain. Hefresh nosar, what makes nosar unique and allows me to analogize nosar to chametz but exclude nevela? Nosar osur b'achila ubehano. We know that nosar is osur b'ano. You can't have any benefit whatsoever, as opposed to nevela. And chametz is also osur b'achila ubehano. And again, we have machlokas. Why chametz is osur b'ano between Chizkiyah and Rabbi Avo? Chizkiyah says it says lo te ochel, and Rabbi Avo says that all isurim until are guilty until proven innocent are all included in isuri ano. And that he derives, if you remember, from the Vela, because in the case of the Vela, the Torah had to go out of its way to tell you like Yerushev Sharecha Tidnina. Bottom line is chametz is osur not only b'achila but also b'ano. Therefore, I can have an exclusive set. What do I mean by an exclusive set? I can take nosar and chametz and derive chametz with an equation to nosar, but I'm going to limit it only to those two cases, because these are the only two cases that are unique that have both an Isra Achila and Ano. Everybody agree to that? Nobody's going to agree to that, because that's a bunch of Balamaisa. There are a whole bunch of Isurim which have Isuri Achila and Isur Ano. Amrullah, the Chachamim say, if you're telling me no such paradigm of an Isra Ano, is I'm going to ask you the following question. Shar Niskal, Yochiach, Osir Bachilu Ba'ano, V'yeno Ton Sreifa. You remember we learned from a pasuk, if you recall, Ubal Ashar Naki, that Shar Niskal, after Gemara Din is Osir Ba'ano, you can't sell the body of the Shar, you can't do anything and benefit from it. And yet the Torah never requires Sreifa, in the case of Shor HaNiskal. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there's no requirement to Sreifa. So if you're setting up Nosar as your binyanav, as your paradigm for an Isra Hano, and therefore requires Sreifa, and therefore Chametz requires Sreifa because it's also Hano, you should apply that to Shor HaNiskal. And once again, Rabbi Yehuda, Shor HaNiskal is just one example of many. We have Arla, and we have Klai Kerem, and we have Basa B'Cholav is also Hano, we have a whole bunch.
Rabbi Yehuda is no slouch. She's not stupid. Why does he bring these examples which are so easy to...
So Michael, this is the Derech HaTalmud. You can ask about the very Derech HaTalmud. What do I mean? The Derech HaTalmud is to go through all possibilities.
But did he actually say this?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Why would he say such a thing?
Right. The Gemara is sort of leading up to the TKO, to the punchline. Meaning, at some point, we're going to corner Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is going to constantly try to whittle down and define the kishkas of Nosar. And eventually, when he exhausts all possibilities, we're going to hit him with a bang on the head. So the Gemara is sort of like going through all stages. If you're going to tell me that Nosar is a paradigm of Isra Achila, I'm going to ask you about Nevela. There's no straight for Nevela. If you're going to tell me that Nosar is a paradigm of Isra Achila, I'm going to ask you about Shara Niskal, etc., etc. Amalehem, I'll tell you how to whittle this down and add another characteristic to Nosar as the paradigm of Sreifa. Hefresh, there's a difference between Nosar and Chametz on the one end. You know, we're trying to close the hermetically seal this circle that'll be exclusively Nosar and Chametz, as opposed to Shor HaNiskal. Nosar, Osur B'Achilu B'Ano, V'Anush Kares. In other words, why is the Torah being so machmir, requiring Srefa in the case of Nosar? Srefa is like a very limited possibility, and that's what the Torah wants, a total destruction by burning it. Why is the Torah so careful and so demanding with regard to Nosar? Because not only is it A, not only is it B, but it's also C. It's not only also Bachilo, it's not only also Banom, but it's also Anushkares, because the Torah says in the Pasuk, I'm looking for the Pasuk here, it says, V'nichrasa nefesh ahi, if he eats Nosar, I'll quote to you the Pasuk as we go along, his chametz belongs to that very exclusive set. It's both Asa Bachila and Hanoah, and it's Anush Karetz. The Torah says, with regard to chametz, that you get Karetz. So give me a minute, if I can, just to find the psukim. I like to always quote the psukim. Felu. Oh, excellent. And what about Nosar? Do you have the pasuk for Nosar? It also says v'nichrita. Do you have such a pasuk?
No.
No. Okay. No. You know, I don't want to hold this up, but you have to. You have to get that pasuk. But there's such a pasuk. Okay. Now, we're going to have to see, is this set actually exclusive? So again, ma nosar b'sreifa, chametz b'sreifa, omru lo. So the chachom, now you'll see, Michael, how it becomes that much more complicated. Because, for example, at this point, I would throw in the towel. I would admit, where do we find something that's A, B, and C other than chametz? I mean, nosar and chametz. So the Gemara racks its brains and comes up with a case. The Chachamim rack their brains. So the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yehuda, Amru lo, chelbo shel shor haniskal yochiach, she'asur b'achila behanav yonash kareis v'ein ton sreifa. Now, Chelev is limited to a behema and only to a behema kshera. What it means by behema kshera is that it is before the Gemar Din, meaning before we establish that this Shor Niskal deserves skila, at this point it's kosher, it lends itself to shechita, and that's because it's a species of a kosher animal. So within the category of a kosher species, you could have one particular case of something that's osur, and that would be shor niskal. Shor niskal belongs to a species that's kosher, and therefore the iser chelev will apply. Now chelev, in and of itself, would not be osur bano. And I think we had a discussion about this in the past. If you eat chelev, you get kares. But you could use chelev. So chelev could be used to limshach bo oros and so forth, we discussed. The problem is that in the case of chelev and shor niska, you have an overlap of both chelev and shor niska. So what you have here now is a particular type of chelev from a particular animal, which is also bano. Normally chelev is not also bano, but now it happens to overlap with shor niskal, therefore becomes also bano. On the other hand, if it was another part of the body in the shor other than the chelev, then that would not be onish karis. So there's a contribution here. I don't want to use the term zevzegorim, but we have A plus B. Shor niskal is going to introduce iser ano, and chelev is going to introduce the onish karis, and they overlap in this case. Again, there's a long discussion here about Ein Isur Chalal Isur. So we have to know exactly. I think what it means is that Ein Isur Chalal Isur will only apply. Just give me a second. Wait. I know you know the answer, Hashem, but I just want to figure it out myself. Hold on a second. Why is there no Ein Isur Chalal Isur? Because it was chelev, now it became shor niskal, so it became osur bano.
Yeah, they don't happen at the same time.
Right, that's the problem of Ein Isur Chalal Isur. In other words, if it was Baba Vasachas, then there's no problem of Ein Isur Chalal Isur. But here, they emerge.
So
separately, and therefore any sochalis. And it's how do you impose? Now I have the answer. Sorry. Well, what I just said was absolute stupidity. There's no problem of any sochalis. Any sochalis only applies when it's not an iser mosif, meaning any sochalis only applies when you're duplicating the iser. Here, you're not duplicating the iser. On the contrary, the shard niskal is adding an iser hanah which didn't exist on the scale before him. That's not any sochalis. Do you follow me? In other words, you can have an overlap of A plus B, and both are also if A adds something and B adds something. So the shame chalev adds the iser hanah. I'm sorry, the iser chiyuv kares, and the shame of shard niskal it contributes the iser hanah, and that's not a problem of any sochalis. But here, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman raises another problem, and he says the following. Ein dimyon bein chelev shel shor niskal le'nosar v'chomitz. How could the Chachamim raise the objection from chelev of shor niskal? It's totally different. Why? Because nosar and chomitz chiyuv hakaris v'isur hanobahem u'machmas chumas isura. In other words, if you're talking about why nosar is chayiv kares, it's because of the chomer of nosar, the isur nosar. If you ask why chomitz generates kares, it's because of the chomer of the isur chomitz. The Torah is so intolerant of this very severe, harsh violation that it had clamped down a mitzvah of sreifah. In other words, the chalev of shor niskal, as far as the chiyuv kares, has nothing to do with the fact that it's shor niskal. Even had it been a behemah that wasn't a shor niskal, it would be chayiv kares. The iser hanah whom he didn't shor niskal. In other words, you happen to find in Metzias an overlap of the two, but there's no iser chomer over here. Meaning, you don't have an iser which you classify as chomer or similar to nosar. Chometz is similar to nosar in the chumras ha-iser. It has both iser hanah and it has the chiyuv kares. But that's not true for a chelev of shor niskal. Each iser, if you isolate it, dependent on into it itself, is not an iser chomer compared to nosar. Chelev is not an iser chomer compared to nosar. It has no iser anah. Shor niskal is not an iser chomer compared to nosar. It has no chiyuv kares. Ubechol iser b'fnei atzmo ein mitzvahs sreifa. So why would you the chacham say, well, according to your logic, based on the paradigm, based on the binyan av from Nosa, you should come to the conclusion that chelev shel shor niskal should also require sreifa, and we know that it doesn't require sreifa. Well, that's not a valid comparison, because here you have no particular iser that you could isolate that would generate sreifa. Why? Because there's no iser here that's chamur. It happens to be coincidentally of an overlap in which you get all the characteristics that you need. You know, you can check off all the elements here. You know, you have this that generates the kares and this that generates an iser hanah, but that's not because of an iser chamur. Uminayin lomar shal yidei har kavasam. Do you feel that word laharkiv means you piggyback one on the other? Is therefore tovah mitzvah sreifa? You can derive mitzvah sreifa. That's the kasha Rebbe Elchanan.
Good,
it's an unbelievable kash. It's so profound, you know.
And it's actually not,
you know, when you think about Rabbi Chanan. I mean, I shouldn't talk about this on Purim. Purim is a day of Simcha, but Rabbi Chanan, you know, went back to Europe. He was in America at the time, and he went back to Europe knowing he knew pretty much what's going to happen. He was murdered by the Nazis, and he just felt he had to be with his people. He couldn't abandon them. You know, it's just unbelievable, the whole history of Elchanan. And the last few moments of his life, when the Yimach Shemam, the Amalekim, that makes it relevant to Purim. When the Amalekim were taking him out to die, he and his people, he got up and he told them that we all have to have in mind L'shem Kiddush Hashem, you know, no Karbon. He says we're all Karbonos, and the law of a Karbon is that there's a psul called Machsheves Pigul. If you don't have the right kavana, I mean, he gave unbelievable strength to his talmidim, and there was one talmid who survived, who somehow told us the story. It wasn't recorded on one of these little machines over here. You know what I'm saying? So how do we know what happened in the last moments of Rebbe Chanan's life when they took him away? But apparently there was one survivor. So anyway, if we're mentioning Torah in the name of Rebbe Chanan, I just want to tell you what a Kaddish in Torah he was, besides his profundity in learning. But here you see his profundity in learning. So look, I'm just going to say the following. I'm not going to tell you that Rav Elchanan would be happy with what I'm saying, but I think that mathematically you have to derive the following conclusion. That's what Rav Elchanan is pointing out. That if you derive from a binyan av, that if you have, if you can check off the following three elements, it requires sreifa, then it doesn't matter where these three elements come from. As long as there's an overlap, and as long as I have a chefta, an object, in this case, chelev of shor and niskal in front of me, if I have A, B, and C, with regard to that chefta, if the Torah says that I'm going to describe that object as A, osur b'achila, B, osur b'anah, and C, onish kares, so if you were to eat chas v'shalom, the chelev of shor and niskal, you would violate the isra achila, the isra anah, and you'd be chayv kares. Again, albeit for a combination of two contributions, nevertheless, it should require sreifa. Now, the sreifa apparently doesn't depend, if you're deriving it for nosar, on the particular shem isur and how it's generated, but on the cheft itself. That's what I think is the mathematical conclusion here. So at this point, Rav Osher, I'm going to turn to Daf Chav Ches Amid Aleph. And now, Rabbi Yehuda, the ball is in Rabbi Yehuda's court. You know, he has to now come up with some sort of justification.
So he didn't think of the Chiddush of Rav Elchanan. Because he'd have thought of that, I wonder if what Rav Elchanan would have said.
So Micah, let me say over what I think you're saying, you'll tell me if this is what you meant. That maybe Rabbi Yehuda was not impressed by the question, the objection of the Chacham, because he held like Rav Elchanan.
I'm saying, why didn't he say that? Why he didn't realize he could have given the answer of Rav Elchanan. Obviously.
Oh, okay. But I'm just saying, at that stage in the development, if you ask me, well, didn't he realize that the Chacham are going to shoot him down? So I'm suggesting that at that stage in the development, he held like Rav Elchanan, that Chelev Shar and Niska would not be a problem for him. I don't know. Again, at some point, the Chacham wants to convince him that there should be Sreifa in the case of Chelev Shar and Niska. Chazar Rav Yehuda Vidano din acher. Now at this point, since the Chachamim objected to Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda had to come with some new approach as to why chametz should be chayev sreifa. That there's some element in chametz that makes chametz absolutely similar to nosar. Not because of A, B, and C, that there's an Isra Achila, and there's an Isra Hana, and there's a Chi of Kares, but there's some much more profound mirror image or comparison between Nosar and Chametz. And these are two Isurim that apparently are very, very unique in the constellation of Isurim. And basically, what Rabbi Yehuda is going to try to do is, he's going to salvage one point from his original formulation of the Kal V'chomer. If you remember the original formulation of the Kal V'chomer, what made chametz more chomer than nosar? Who remembers? Bayirah Bayimotze. So even though, you know, the Chacham rejected this Kal V'chomer according to the strict regulations, because if he doesn't have Eitzim, you're leading up to a Kula. But nevertheless, there is one point here that has to be clarified, and namely, that Chametz has that unique prohibition of Bayirah Bayimotze. And now Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, he's going to argue that Nosar also has Azah Bayirah Bayimotze. I don't mean literally Bayirah Bayimotze, but that concept that we find, and a very unique concept in Chametz, we're going to find a parallel in Nosar. Because Nosar is also a result of what we call Shehiyah. Shehiyah means postponement. He was meant to eat the Basar, and he didn't eat the Basar Kodshim. So that delay is really what lies at the root of all the Chumras of Nosar. And that concept of delay has its parallel in Chametz. The Torah says about Chametz, don't delay, get rid of it. Every moment you're holding on to it, the Shehiyah, that's going to generate an Issa. So let's see how Rabbi Yehuda formulates. Chazer Rabbi Yehuda v'dano. Now, Michael, again, I don't know what this means. Just physically, I don't know what it means. Are we imagining in our mind staging a debate here between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda? Is that what the Gemara is doing? On the Gemara historically is taking us back into the Beit Midrash in which Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham are at each other. Or I'm just going to offer another possibility, and again, if I was teaching a course in Chappelle College, one of my favorite places on the face of the map, I would try to see what's the methodology of the Talmud. It could be that what the Talmud is doing here is Rabbi Yehuda is going to try to satisfy the Chacham. He's not telling you that I need this. I'm not impressed with your objection, like we spoke about Rabbi Chanan before. But I'm going to tell you, the Rabbanan, something that you yourselves are going to have to admit defeat. I'm going to offer another argument, another approach that's going to push you, your backs against the wall. But it could be the Rabbi Yehuda at this point. This is not, you know, an actual debate in which Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, I concede defeat, but I'm going to come back, you know, for another round. It could be that at this point, Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't even think your objection is objection, but since you are absolutely convinced that there's an analogy between the Chalev of Shar Niskal and Chametz and Nosar, so I'm going to offer you another approach.
But why,
do you follow my question?
I don't know why you would say that. Because
no, I'm just saying it because, as we said before, it could be that Rabbi Chanan's logic is so compelling that Rabbi Yehuda would not have conceded. So you ask me, what I do with the next line of Gemara? So I'm just suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda wants to give an extra push here and say to the Chacham, well, what are you going to do with the following logic? You know, you were very picky, and you argued with me because of your understanding of Chalev of Shar Niskal. I was never impressed by that logic. But Lashitaska, I'll give you another piece of logic. How are you going to handle this one? But it could be that Rabbi Yehuda felt he already won the game here, because Chametz is very unique. It has A, B, and C. And that makes it completely analogous to Nosar. So Rabbi Yehuda says the following. Nosar yeshno bebal tosiru, v'chametz bebal tosiru. Now look what he does here. You know, this just linguistically is a very sharp move here on the part of Rabbi Yehuda. He rewrites the text of the Bible. Nowhere does it say Bal Tosiru in Chametz. It says Lo Yiralecha V'Lo Yimatzilcha. But from a conceptual perspective, Rabbi Yehuda identifies them, correct? That Bal Yirah B'Yimatzi means don't leave over the Chametz. Now the Torah in the case of Nosar says Lo Sosiru. Now, I have a little bit of a problem here, because the Loso Siru refers to Kachim within the time allotment. And the Torah is saying, make sure to eat the Basar Kodesh before it becomes Nosar, and don't delay past that, you know, that red line, you know, the point of no return, because then it becomes Nosar. Not so in the case of Chametz. The Torah is saying in the case of Chametz that once you pass that red line, then you violate Bal Yirah B'Yimatzi. You know, in the case of Loso Siru and Nosar, the Torah is saying, don't let it become Nosar. In the case of Chametz and Bal Yirah B'Yimatzi, the Torah is saying, don't delay because you already have a violation of possession of Chametz. Do you feel? Now, I'm just wondering if there's a difference between the two. You think it's a good parallel? All right. That's good. Then you're on Rabbi Yehuda's team.
Before the Zman, it's Chametz. And then it's the next.
No, but I'm saying if you wanted an exact parallel to Nosar, I would say before the Zman, get rid of your Chametz, right?
And before the Zman,
eat your Nosar. If you eat it before your Zman.
Right, but I'm saying your Rabbi Yimotze only applies in event that you
did do it.
That you didn't, you held on to your Chametz. In the case of Nosar, the Torah is saying, don't delay eating it. That's not what it says in Chametz. In Chametz it says, when you violate Bal Yirah B'Yimatzi, after that point and on, that's when you have to get rid of your Chametz. That's when you violate Bal Yirah B'Yimatzi. Follow? Losa Siru Nosa means don't allow it to become Nosa. That's not exactly a parallel to Bal Yirah B'Yimatzi. Bal Yirah B'Yimatzi means get rid of it now, because you're at this moment in time, it's Chametz, and you're not allowed in possession of Chametz.
You got to eat it now. You got to eat the bosar
right
now.
Right, but I'm just saying that.
I'm just saying it's
the loso siru in nosar means don't allow it to become nosar. In the case of chametz, by Rabbi Motzi means don't possess chametz because it's already chametz. You know, it's not that by Rabbi Motzi says do X in order to prevent it from becoming chametz. No, there's no such law. the Torah in Nosar is saying do X and eat the basar within its allotted time, so it shouldn't become Nosar. Do you hear the difference? Okay, I don't know. The Gemara is not impressed with my logic, so just, you know, just put it in the rubbish. Okay. Amru lo, now here the Chachamim have to come up with some really brilliant chach. And this is the case of Osham Tolui. We're going to have another case called Chata Sa'ofa Bola Sofek. Here are two cases in the world of Kodshim where we're going to find Bal Tosiru and all the other elements that we need, and yet there's no requirement of Sreifa. Okay, so let's see. What's an Osham Tolui? Osham Tolui means that I don't know whether this object in front of me is Shuman or Chelev. Sofik Shuman, Sofik Chelev, because they look almost identical. And I went ahead, Chas V'Shalom, and I ate it. So the Torah says in such a case, I don't know what my situation is. Did I violate the Iser of Chelev, Chas V'Shalom? That's an Iser Kares, and then I have to bring a Karma Chatos. Or did I not violate? I ate Shuman. So the very fact that I subjected myself to this suffix, even though it's really a shogeg situation, nevertheless the Torah clamps me with a chi of carbon, which is called an Oshem Tolu. Correct?
Yeah.
Now, again, the sin for which possibly the violation of which incurs a chi of Oshem Tolu is a sin on the highest level of a chi of Kares. Right? Like the case I gave you of Chelev, which is chi of Kares. Okay. So again, in a case of Mezid, where he absolutely knew that this was Chelev, and he ate the Chelev of the Mezid, then he would be Chayev Kares. Here, he doesn't know whether it's Chelev or Shuman, and the Torah says, that's not called a Mezid, that's an Azak called a Shogeg, and it's a Sofek of a Chiyuv, what? Of a Chiyuv, Karman Chatos. So in the case of this suffix of Karman Chatos, you need to bring what's called an Osham Tolui. Now we have another case. This is the case of what's called a Chatos Ha'of. And let's say he has a suffix as to whether or not he's Chayev in the Chatos Ha'of. So we're going to give a number of cases, like a woman who gave birth and she has to bring a Karman Yoledes, she has to also bring an oaf as an Ola, she has to bring another oaf as a Chatos. But let's say she gave birth to a miscarriage, which is called Hapola, and there's a suffix whether it was a Nefel, in other words, it didn't live long enough to be a viable creature, and therefore it's not called a Leda, and it doesn't generate a Chi of Karman, or it was a Vlad. It passed a certain stage, let's say 3 months, or I don't know, whatever it is, we have to learn Masechta Nida for that, and therefore it generates a Chi of Karman, or what's called an Olas Chatos that a Yoledes has to bring. So in this case, she goes through a whole process, which the Gemara Nida establishes called an Of Ola Alatnai. She makes a tnai, because Ola is one kind of a carbon that's bob and a dova. So she could say the following. If it was a real valid Leda, it was a Vlad, it wasn't a Nefel, then this should be an Adova. And if it was a, what did I just say? No, I meant to say the opposite. If it was a real Vlad, then this should be an Olas Chatos Yoledes. If, on the other hand, it was not a Vlad, it was only a Nefel, then let this be an Olas Nedova. So what's common to both Oshem Tolui and Chatos Ha'of Abola Sofeg? They both are generated by Sofeg. Oh. Lidvarecha, according to your logic, Rabbi Yehuda, as far as beer is concerned, right? Ein beer el sreifa, yochichu. We should prove something from these two cases that even if you have bal tosiru, nevertheless they don't require sreifa. Again, Rabbi Yehuda's underlying logic is that if X then Y, if bal tosiru then Y, meaning that you have a chiv sreifa. Sherei hein bebal tosiru. Right? Now, again, we have to understand why in these case of Kodshim, there's Bal Tosiru. The reason is because we're talking about an Osham and a Chatos. Now, what's common to both Osham and Chatos? They are both Kodshei Kodshim. And Kodshei Kodshim eaten to whom? To the Kohen. But within a certain amount of time. And the Torah says, Lo Tosiru. is Sha'anu Omrim Bisrefa Viata Omer Bikvura. Okay, so now here's the deal.
Rabbi Yehuda says,
This happens to me, Rabbi Yehuda, elsewhere. Not our Rabbi Yehuda. It's the same Rabbi Yehuda physically, but it's Rabbi Yehuda at the end of Masechta Tmura. But before we get to that, let's just understand. At this point, the Chachamim seem to accept Rabbi Yehuda's logic, but what they do is they find a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda himself. Because according to your logic, Rabbi Yehuda, you yourself should have classified Asham Toli and Chata Sofa Sofek as Nisrafim. Why? Because they both have Baltosiru, the Ata Omer, and in truth, your position at the end of Masechta Tmura is that you can destroy these karbonos if need be through kvura, meaning you don't need to burn them. That you would have said logically that dinam bisrefa, but chatos sofa balas sofek, all you have to do is you have to get rid of it. Now again, there are different dinam here. There's what's called a chatos sofa balas sofek. There's what's called an oshem tolui. In the case of chatos sofa balas sofek, there's a din called Hashlocha Li'emes Mayim. There was in something in the Azor called Li'emes Mayim, and that's where you have to put the Chatas Of. In the case of the Basar Vashem Tolui, what you have to do is you have to bury it. So I don't understand, Rabbi Yehuda. If you want to be consistent, then in those cases, because of Bal Tosiru, you should have required Sreifa. And in fact, the Chachamim there at the end of Tmur requires Sreifa, but you are of the opinion that all you need is Kvura and you don't need Sreifa. Is Shasak, Rabbi Yehuda. At this point, Rabbi Yehuda didn't have an answer. So, Belinated, tomorrow we're going to try to investigate this Shasak, Rabbi Yehuda. Not tomorrow, I don't mean tomorrow. I mean tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, as Shakespeare used to say.
Sure.
Do you remember that? I don't remember which play it was in.
Tomorrow.
What comes next? Creeps at its petty pace. That much I remember.
Very impressed.
Yeah, well, I used to know the whole thing by heart, you know, when I was in high school, and I had an English teacher who forced us to memorize parts of Shakespeare.
Why not too?
Okay, Rabos, I'll wish you a Freilich and Freilich in Purim. It's unbelievable that we finally arrived at Purim. It's just like we've been waiting for this. And we should be Zocher to get all the Purim is supposed to be Oraz Usimcha, Mamish lights, unbelievable.
Amen.
Unbelievable potential in Purim. Halavai that we should take it all in. According to Chassidus, you should know that on Purim you could ask for anything at the Suda's Purim, and it's based on a pasuk that Achashverosh, who represents the Melech Malkei Hamelucha, he says to Esther, anything you ask for. Well, it's interesting. Ad Chatzia Malchus is before they get rid of Haman, but after Haman, Achashverosh says whatever you ask for. He doesn't add that condition of Ad Chatzia Malchus, because at the time of the destruction of Haman, then we're ready in the Bechina of Liosid Lavo, and it's a little bit of a microcosm of the ultimate redemption, and therefore on Purim we can ask for anything.
Amen.
All right, call two.